first thing to say is that this is not about our clinical colleagues, okay? This is not about the great care that they're given, our nursing colleagues, our medical colleagues, the rest of the staff who work in the hospital in extreme unsafe conditions, who are treating patients in A&E today who've just come off 12-hour night shifts. This is not about them, okay? This is about trying to get them the help and support that they need and that they require. So it's a really important thing to say that at the outset. I suppose to wind back to why the time is now and why the GPs have come together in what is an incredibly unprecedented move. Greg, back in August time, on a random Tuesday in August, in the evening time, there were 14 ambulances backed up at Letterkenny University Hospital waiting to offload their patients. And as a result, there was no ambulance available for Sligo, Donegal or Leitrim. That's really scary, okay? And that's really scary for us as GPs. If we call an ambulance, that none is going to come and we're left out in the community looking after patients. A huge, huge patient safety issue. And that means if my patient has a heart attack in Fannet or someone breaks a hip in Glenties or a car crash in Inishowen, there was nobody there to come. And I suppose we're hearing every day from our patients over and over and over again that they get great care when they get in the door, but that they're waiting in some cases 24 hours plus to see a clinician in A&E in Letterkenny or in the emergency department. And that's just really, really unsafe. And we're no longer willing to accept it. And now is the time when we're going to raise a flag and say we're going to advocate for our patients. And we're going to say it's no longer good enough.
Yeah, and it gets to a point, doesn't it? And we can't live in a society whereby a GP would be less inclined to refer someone to the ED in the fear that it could actually be counterintuitive to their health. Or counterproductive, sorry, to their health. I mean, I'm sure it's happening already, but I mean, we're going to see more of that as outlined in the letter.
Absolutely, Greg. I mean, there's a morbidity and a mortality, so there's a harm and a risk of death of waiting in an A&E department. And so if somebody comes in to me today and they're 80 and they're frail and they have a bad chest infection and really they should be admitted for IV antibiotics, I have to weigh up about the risks of that person standing, you know, or sitting in A&E in a hard chair for hours and hours and then waiting in a trolley maybe for hours to be admitted. I mean, there's a really scary statistic where they did a huge study in the UK of NHS patients, massive millions of patients in the study, and it showed that actually for about every 80 patients who wait more than 5 hours in A&E, by the way, that's all of our patients who wait more than 5 hours in A&E, that there's an excess death within 30 days in that patient cohort. Right. So this is a big deal. You know, patients waiting in A&E is not just an inconvenience. It's a risk to their health and it's a risk to their life as well. And so we have patients that we're keeping at home that really should be in A&E departments, but we can't because we know that leaving that frail person sitting on a chair for hours and hours and hours has a risk to their health.
And what we see with contact to programs like to this program, and I'm sure it's the same with you, is families might be able to convince someone to go in once. But that's it then. They say, I'm not going back there. I'm not going because of the long wait or they're not happy with the outcome of it. Again, we're seeing more and more at this on this program. And of course, you're a GP. You're going to see it in a far more regular and descriptive fashion from your patients.
I mean, we have this incredible situation where patients are coming in the door and the first thing out of their mouth is, you're not sending me up, doctor. Mm. There's no way I'm doing that. No, I'll take my chance. No, give me an antibiotic. No, do something else. Or, you know, and that's incredible. And, you know, we don't like sending patients to A&E ever, really, you know. And if you look at the statistics of how many patients we actually send to A&E, it's about less than 5%. So you often hear about this, you know, that GPs are sending everybody to A&E. Mm. That's not really the story. And, you know, if you look at all the healthcare contacts last year in the health service, about 33 million of them, 29 million are in GP, right? So we are already seeing 88% of patients in the health service is in general practice. And so we send up less than 5% of patients. And at the minute, we're sending up patients who, yes, are very sick, but we're also sending up patients who we have no alternative pathway. So we're sending up patients to the emergency department that actually don't really need to go to the emergency department, but because of a system that's broken, we have nowhere else to send them. So there's patients who do not need to be admitted to hospital, but cannot wait for a year to get an outpatient appointment for something that's serious. And those patients should be seen in alternative pathways. And unfortunately, when we try to raise those issues with the management in LUH, we really did meet a brick wall with them. And we have, you know, it's unprecedented to go to the media with this, but the reason we've done that, Greg, really is because we're not getting any satisfaction from dealing with some of the management locally about getting alternative pathways for patients to the emergency department.
So in layman's terms, what are you calling on the health minister to do? Because you're going right to the top here. I mean, he is the head of the head of the HSC. So as I say, in ways we can understand, what are you calling for from him? When I say you, I mean you and the 77 other GPs.
Yeah, so the reason we went to the top, Greg, is that we're not getting any answers locally, and we need a national focus on this if we're going to be treated differently in Donegal. There are three main things. The first thing is that we need an external review. So we need somebody else who's going to come in, cut through the bureaucracy of it all, cut through the excuses, quite frankly, and someone who's going to come in and offer solutions and back that up with the resources that it needs. It's no surprise to anybody that Letterkenny University Hospital is under-resourced in comparison to the rest of the country. The second thing by far is that we need our medical assessment unit open. So that has been open in the past on an ad hoc basis. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's not. It's not protected. And I want to give an example of this, Greg, because I think this is, this will make it clear to patients. If you come in to me today and you have a query clot in your leg, right? So we think you have a clot in your leg, you have some symptoms of it. I have no choice but to send you to A&E, but or to the emergency department. You're actually very well. You're fine. I can treat you here, but you need an investigation done to confirm with a scan today or tomorrow or the next day whether or not you have a clot. So I have no choice but to send you to the emergency department. You're going to sit there, be triaged after a couple of hours. Then you'll sit there for maybe 24 hours to be seen. Then you may or may not get your scan that day. And our ED colleagues are telling us, the consultants are telling us, that they have to admit patients to get those scans. So the patient has to be admitted. They take up a bed. They take up nursing care as well that they don't need. In loads of other hospitals across the country and across, in Derry, 15 minutes away, that patient would be go by appointment for their scan or go by their appointment by appointments that I can arrange as a GP to the medical assessment unit to get that scan in the next few days. They're in and out in an hour. The diagnosis is confirmed or not in an hour. And that patient did not take up a bed. They did not clog up A&E. They did not need nursing care. That's an example of 10 or 15 or 20 conditions that easily are managed in medical assessment units across the country. And instead, our medical assessment unit is full of patients. Mm-hmm. So patients who are in trolleys this morning will get admitted to the medical assessment unit, not to have medical assessment, but actually because the beds are needed. And so in other hospitals across the country, not reinventing the wheel, the medical assessment unit works really, really well. Staff, and we have a brilliant consultant there already. He just needs the chance to do the job, and he needs the beds and the ability to do it. That's one thing. The other thing, Greg, is we can't continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. I mean, that's just insanity. And we have a forum with the hospital management, but we're just really not getting anywhere with it. And for us, we need a task force of GPs, ED consultants, the ambulance service, the community services, community hospitals, where we sit down at this rate now, it needs to be once a week, and find solutions to this working together. And that needs to be chaired by clinicians, actually, not by hospital management. And it needs to have a senior sales representative on that, because the only way of doing that is to cut through some of the bureaucracy and make sure that, if we're like this and we have no beds and patients are waiting for hours in October, God help us for December and January, because we're going to, if we've no beds and no ambulances in August, what's it going to be like when flu comes? What's it going to be like when COVID hits? What's it going to be like when RSV hits later in the year? And as GPs, we're really scared. And that's what I would say. We're scared that our patients are going to be sitting on trolleys and suffering for worse outcomes as a result.
I mean, obviously, there are different levels of command and management and what have you. But just to try and drill down to the relationship at the moment, either you as an individual or GPs as a collective, have you lost faith in the management at Letterkenny University Hospital? Now, I'm not asking that question looking for a head in a stick, but it reads like you have, okay? And even to the point whereby you want to be discussing things with clinicians and different types of people that aren't necessarily management. So to be clear, do you have, or do you as a collective have faith in the current management at Letterkenny University Hospital?
Big statement to make, Greg, for sure. I think the best way of putting that is we don't have faith in them to currently fix the crisis in A&E. Okay, so A&E is broken. Not, when all the GPs met in Zoom back in August, that was the word that was continuously said by everyone. It is broken. Okay, the system, if your patients are waiting for 24 hours in A&E to be seen, then that it's broken. And so the management have had lots of opportunities to fix that in reality over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, and that hasn't happened. So if you ask me if we have confidence in the management team, I'd say we don't have confidence in them to fix this current situation with the emergency department, and that's why we're calling for external help.
Yeah, and this goes all the way to the top. Last time I interviewed Stephen Donnelly, he was like, well, we've increased funding in there by 30 million, and you're probably going to ask, well, where's that money going now, or what's going on? I mean, will you expect him to take this seriously and set up a meeting or a team or whatever it might be and take this as seriously as clearly it is? You know, I don't know how many GPs are in Donegal, but a large proportion of them here. And when you actually look down through the names, and I would say most people listening, their GP's names on this letter, it really is striking. So it can't be ignored, really. Sorry for the convoluted intro there, Porrig. It can't be ignored by senior Sealta management, and particularly, I think, the health minister.
Well, let me be clear and put my patients and your listeners on notice that if we're ignored, we're not going to allow that to happen. Okay, so this is the first time, I guess, that the GPs have wrote in such, you know, in such huge numbers. And let me put your listeners on notice that if we're ignored, we're taking these to the streets. Okay, so if we don't get the outcome that we want and that our patients deserve and that our patients need, then we will take to the streets. And I guess to go back to what you're talking about, you know, if you bring sales to management on now or somebody from LUH, they're going to give you a myriad of things that they're doing right. And they're going to give, which is true, you know, with Pathfinder, which is a brilliant program, we have some good innovative things. There's a new building coming for part of the A&E, but, you know, that's not going to help us this winter. You know, excuses are not working here, and excuses are no good to my 80-year-old patient who I send up today, who still will wait for 24 hours to see a doctor in A&E. So I suppose, do I think they're going to do something about it? Greg, we're not going to let them not. And the GPs were really clear on that this is not just a bounce in a letter and see what happens. This is the first step of asking them to sit up and treat us in the same way that the rest of the country. I just want to give you one. I know people don't want to be bamboozled by stats, but this is an important one. Of all our ambulance services across the country, we have the longest drop-off times, and we already have one of the longest commute times. So the average drop-off time in Letterkenny A&E for emergency department for ambulances is an hour and 30 minutes. For Dublin, that's less than an hour. For Galway, it's 43 minutes. For Ballinasloe, it's less than 50 minutes. So we're doing something wrong in Letterkenny, and we're not getting the resources that we need, and we're no longer willing to be the poor cousin and be left behind.